Hello, my name is Adrian Westney Jr., and you're now listening to another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. I'm pleased to be your host today for this program. This program features inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wentley Phipps. Today's message is going to be a thought-provoking one. It's a message entitled, Judgment is Come. Pastor Phipps is going to cover quite a few topics. And because of the length of this message, we've chosen to skip our usual special music and go right to the message. So don't go anywhere if you're used to running off and not listening to the music and coming back for the message. Don't do it this time, because we're about to start the message here on the More Abundant Life. This is going to be program number 307 in our series. And at the end of the message, I'll be back to give you some information as to how you may obtain an audio copy of today's message. Sit back and relax, because now Pastor Phipps is about to begin, and is beginning, actually, the message on Judgment is Come. Here's Pastor Phipps now.
Revelation 14, verse 6. Scriptures say, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. My message this morning, judgment is come. Years after the death of Jesus Christ, a mountain named Vesuvius suddenly exploded. The explosion was so sudden that the residents of the city of Pompeii were killed while in their daily routines. Men and women were at the market. The rich were down having their saunas and their baths. Slaves were working for their masters. They all died amid volcanic ash and superheated gases. Even family pets suffered the same quick and final death. It takes little imagination to picture the panic of that terrible day. The saddest part is that these people did not have to die. You see, scientists confirm that weeks of rumblings and shaking preceded the explosion of Mount Vesuvius. Even an ominous plume of smoke was visible days before the mountain erupted. The people saw and heard the warnings, but if only they had been able to respond, they would have been saved. Church, there are similar rumblings in our world today. Earthquakes, economic woes, the breakdown of the family, children gone astray. War on every hand. These things all point to a day of judgment. But God's people need not be caught unprepared, because God always warns and provides a way of escape. There is no doubt in my mind that Jesus must come, and must come soon. And though we may not see it with our eyes right now, an important work is going on in this world. Right now, angels are running to and fro in the earth. They are identifying who's going to be saved and who's going to be lost. They are tagging souls. They are sealing those who belong to Jesus. They are separating the wheat from the chaff. They are separating the wheat from the tares. And after these things, scriptures say, I saw four messengers standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that a wind might not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor any tree. And I saw another messenger ascending from the rising of the sun, having a seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four messengers, to whom it was to injure the earth and the sea, injure not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, till we have finished sealing the servants. Whoa. The time has come for us to examine ourselves. Church, God has given his angels a command to gather his people. And the time has come for us to sacrifice our cherished sins, to put away anything that will keep us out of the kingdom of God. Some need to give up their vices, the drugs, liquor, fornication, intemperance. Somebody saying, but Pastor, I need that. It's my medicine. It relaxes me. I want you to know there's no better remedy for stress and anxiety than prayer. God knows that you know what you're doing is wrong. And we may deceive one another, but we can't deceive him. But today I feel particularly compelled to let you know that I'm praying for America. I am praying for this nation. You see, sometimes we don't like to think about it, but judgment is coming for America too. Right now, are you listening to me? There is a weighing and a judgment. There is a weighing, there is a judgment going on. It is not just for kings and emperors. It's for presidents, too. You didn't hear what I said. There is a weighing. It is going on right now. And we may escape the scales of earth, but there is a scale in heaven that everyone, including our nation and our president, and I tremble. Lord led me to that moment when Belshazzar had reached his final moment. He didn't even know it. Amen. He believed that Babylon was the praise of the earth, just like we believe America is the praise of the earth. They believed that Babylon was impregnable, could not be taken. Belshazzar was unaware that he was facing his moment of judgment. He declared a feast in honor of 1,000 of his lords, and anybody who was anybody was there. Men of wealth and power, men of genius and education, enchanting women of beauty and charm. Ellen White says that princes and statesmen drank wine that night like water, until reason was dethroned and the lower passions took control. The king himself led the crowd into an orgy. And at the height of his drunken stupor, he cried out, "Go bring me those golden vessels from the temple of the Jews. Those vessels sacred to their God Jehovah, bring them to me that I and my concubines might drink of them. And nothing that belongs to Jehovah self, Belshazzar, is sacred to me. Bring me those vessels." And little did Belshazzar know that God, with a searching eye of purpose, was watching him from a distance. Little did he know that heavenly visitors were silent witnesses to his irreverence and his blasphemy. And with the royal gala going on, Belshazzar and his act of irreverence, he didn't realize that when he touched those golden vessels, are you with me today? He had gone beyond the limits, and without warning, suddenly a bloodless, dismembered hand. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. A bloodless, dismembered hand reached through the veil of eternity into time and history. A hand as though severed and amputated from its terrible frame reached into Belshazzar's courts and began writing on the walls of that gilded palace. It wrote awful words. It wrote solemn words. And as it wrote slowly, the very walls upon which that hand was writing trembled as though about to fall. As it wrote, every letter of every word shimmered and smoked with fire. Every soul present knew that judgments had come. Have mercy, Jesus. The Bible says not even Belshazzar could hide the intensity of his terror. The joints that held his body and bones together all gave way simultaneously to an unmanageable and terrible fear. The people watched in horror as the knees of Belshazzar smote together uncontrollably, relieving himself. Again and again, he tried to read the burning letters of judgment on the wall. He started shouting, "Who can read this? Somebody read this. Can no one read this? Whoever reads this, I'll make him the third ruler in the kingdom of Babylon." Some people think that monetary rewards can fix anything. "I give you something, read it." And everybody stood mute, bewildered before the smoldering characters on the palace wall. And just then, the queen mother remembered Daniel. She said, "O king, there is one among us in whom the spirit of prophecy still lives." Amen. "There is one among us in whom the spirit of the God still dwells. He interprets dreams and makes them plain." Hallelujah. Thank God for a prophet. "He holds and solves hard sentences and difficult riddles. His name is Daniel. Send for him. King, I'm confident he can interpret the writing on the wall." And the Bible says when Daniel arrived, the king said, "Daniel, I've heard that you can explain riddles and dreams. Read this handwriting on the wall for me, and I'll make you the third ruler in the kingdom." Daniel took one look at the letters on the wall and said, "King, keep your kingdom. Keep your kingdom. Besides, it's not yours to give away. For the God I serve sets up rulers and he takes them down. By his permission, every king, every president has their power. Oh, king, I'll read the writing on the wall, but you give your kingdom to somebody else. I can't accept what you don't have the power to give." Daniel then turned his face towards the wall, and with his face flushed with a holy solemnity, a solemn and somber reverence, Daniel framed his lips and read out loud these words, "Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin, brought your days as king to an end. Tekel means God has weighed your soul in the balances and you are found wanting. God has weighed your soul in the balance of his holiness. You did not measure up to his standards. King, this word you see here, peres, it means God has divided your kingdom, given it to the Medes and Persians. And in that very night, as Daniel was speaking, the army of Cyrus had turned the same river Euphrates that you see. And you know, one of the things we don't often stop and think about is that God punishes nations too. The guilt they incur is corporate. And this is the hard part. Help me, Lord Jesus. When the judgment is corporate, if you are living in that nation, that judgment falls on you too. Oh, but my God has a hammer that can break many nations. My Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will just humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I don't know if you realize it or not, but America is living on borrowed time. Did you know that? You know, the great preacher Spurgeon, great white British preacher, said there is, listen to what he said in one of his sermons. There is no God in heaven if the iniquity of slavery go unpunished. My God. He said, there is no God. Spurgeon said this. There is no God is existing in heaven above if the cry of the Negro does not bring down a hail of blood upon the nation that still holds the black man in slavery. He was preaching to the British nation. And he said, if God doesn't do something about this, there is no God. He said, nor is there a God anywhere if the nations of Europe that still oppress each other and are oppressed by tyrants do not find out to their dismay that God executes vengeance. He's an avenger. This land, he said, which is at this time sodden with blood, is only at this hour suffering the vengeance that has long been hanging over it. God will punish those who lift their hands against his people, church. Amen. Amen. There is gathering a storm over the head of human empires. Brothers and sisters, we as a nation, we've got to begin to purge ourselves of sin because judgment is come. We need to shake off all that we do that contributes to America's cup of iniquity. May God preserve us. Judgment is not only upon us as a nation, but judgment is coming to us individually. So you ought to judge yourself, lest ye be judged. In other words, what that means is it's time for you to begin really taking a good look at your life. Amen? And recognize that there are various scales. One scale is the scale of the opinions of men. You know, the Lord has, we like to say, I don't care what people think, I'm going to do what I think is right. Sometimes you got to care about what people think. You can't just say, that's the only scale I'm going to live by is, no, because you see, brothers and sisters, even the scriptures tell us, avoid the very appearance of evil. Why did God say that? Because it's important. Amen? That's an important scale that you are weighed in, how other people look at you. But there are more important scales than that one. There's a scale of conscience. God's telling me, take your time. Conscience is not always a reliable scale either. Because there's some people who don't have a conscience. There's some people whose consciences are dead. They will hurt you and not even think about it. They will shoot you, not even flinch. Huh? They know that they would be seen by heaven as being bankrupt. So they just say, well, I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do. But brothers and sisters, when you're truly converted and you talk about Jesus. I heard someone else saying, well, I'm telling you, you got to recognize that your commitment to Christ has to be something that you experience yourself. So when you stand up to preach, when you stand up to teach, when you're representing Jesus, it's got to be what you have experienced. I do a lot of flying. I have flown more flights than I'll ever remember. I told my church the other day, I lay down in my bed and I hear the planes. Sat down in my study, opened up my book to read and reach for my seatbelt. I that's actually happened to me. But I often, when I go to take a flight, I often notice the pilot, and you'll see him, no matter whether it's day or night, no matter what the weather is around, he's walking around inspecting the plane. That pilot is looking for and inspecting that plane for any signs of wear and tear, and I want him to do it too. Amen. Say, Pop, check it out. He's looking for structural damage. He's looking for deterioration. And I want you to know, before we face the future that is ahead of us, we've got to walk around our own lives. And we've got to look at ourselves and examine ourselves. And we must inspect our conduct. You can't just say what comes to your mind. Got to examine yourself. You come before God's people, be careful what you say. Before you soar, you must check. I say, make sure you attend to your pre-flight checklist. If you plan to go to heaven, make sure you got a pre-flight checklist. Then there's a scale. First of all, there's a scale of others' opinion. There's a scale of your own conscience. And then there's a scale of God's word. You look at the life of Jesus and you put your own, Lord have mercy, put your life beside it, and you say, now how do I line up? God uses many things to weigh people. No more important than his word. He even uses prosperity to weigh people. You know, there are some people who can handle poverty who can't handle prosperity. And you keep saying, try me, Lord, please, try me, Lord. There are some people who can't handle popularity. That's why God doesn't give everybody popularity. Because some people will self-destruct. Have mercy, Jesus. They start looking different. They start walking different. Like if they're, you know. They wear dark glasses when they don't need to. They think that their adoring multitudes are applauding them when they go to the grocery store. Are you with me today? Some people's brain can't handle applause. And so God doesn't give you applause. Because he's weighing you and he doesn't want you to be found wanting. And some people, they're the scales of temptation. Can you say like Joseph, when you're tempted, how can I do this wickedness? Sin against my God. If you've never been tempted, you won't understand what I just said. Because you can't tell a ship is worthy until it's been through a storm. Are you able to say, I know through grace I've been kept in the hour of temptation. The work within me is the work of the Holy Spirit. Some are weighed in the scales of adversity. I said, we are going through a time of judgment. And if you're wondering, what is happening to me? Why am I going through these experiences? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because you're being weighed in the balances. God's testing you. You try to start a business and it fails. God's testing you. Your earthly prospects are growing dim. God's testing you. Your children are just ungrateful. Are you with me today? God is testing you. Remember Job? He was weighed in the scales of affliction. Satan threw every weight he could throw against Job. But Job came back with a counterweight. He said, I know him in whom I believe. When he tried me, I'm going to come forth like gold. When the devil threw on the scale of the death of Job's children, Job said, I got a weight to counterbalance that weight of affliction. The Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When the weight of physical torment and sickness was, are you with me today? Place upon the scales of Job's life. Job said, I got a weight to counterbalance the weight of sickness, though he slay me. I'm going to trust him. And if your religion can't stand the scale of adversity and trial, if it can't hold you in the time of storms, you'd be better out without a religion like that. You better get a new religion. If your religion can't hold you in the storm, so what will you do in the day of judgment? If you can't run with the footmen, what you going to do in the swelling of the Jordan? There are the scales of balances of the Ten Commandments. And I tell you, isn't it something how you, as the longer you live, the more you understand those Ten Commandments are not going anywhere. They're going to be right there with you till you die. The scales and balances of the Ten Commandments, you read them and you see how far you fall short. The only way to be found wanting, or not to be found wanting, is to bring with you the perfect righteousness of Christ. Because of Jesus. Oh, you with me today? Because of Jesus, you can be weighed against the law of Ten Commandments. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. Are you ready?
Well, that concludes our message for today, the message entitled, Judgment is Come. I hope you understood the message, and for those of you who would like to obtain an audio copy of this message, here's what you need to do. You need to call the Seabrook Church, the phone number 301-577-6342. You want to ask today for program number 307, that's program 307, which will reference in allow you to access the title, Judgment is Come. I hope you'll join us again for another program here on The More Abundant Life. But until then, this is Adrian Westney Jr. wishing you God's richest blessings. Remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10. That's where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that life might be the more abundant life.